Diarmaid Cathal Gael, agus fáilte go dtí Sportsline on Scariff Bay Community Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. You're welcome once again to Sportsline here on Scariff Bay Community Radio in association with Derek Credit Union on 88.3 and 92.7 FM. And on today's show, we're going to be talking handball with Orla Conslane. We're talking GAA affairs with well-known journalist Owen Brennan. And Pat is going to give us an analysis on the big Six Nations game between England and Ireland coming up later on this evening. And before we get the handball report from the PRO of the Clare Handball Board, Orla Conslane, we want to express our deepest condolences here from all of Scariff Bay Community Radio to the Kelleher family in Broadford, to Michael and Michelle James and all the Tina and all the family members on the sad passing of Shawnee. Shawnee, who was a great servant, played hurling at all levels for Broadford, and also done a bit of coaching in his time, and he's now gone to his eternal reward. And may Shawnee Kelleher rest in peace.
On the handball front, in the last couple of weeks, it's been very busy for both juveniles and adults alike, as they travelled in great numbers playing matches. 2 weeks ago, we had Munster finals held in Clare for the Juvenile A, and in that there were 21 finals played, with Clare winning 17 gold. 11 of these went on to All-Ireland level and played their semi-finals last weekend, with 5 of the group successful and going on for All-Ireland finals, which will be played March 16th in Croke Park. Of these, Clare's girls under 15 singles, Ellie Frost, defeated her Tyrone opponent. Under 16 singles, Claire Minogue of Tumgraney defeated her Tyrone opponent. The girls under 16 doubles, a Tuna pairing of Isabel McInerney and Tara Lucas, defeated Tyrone, as it was all Ulster, hosted in Ulster. The boys under 14 singles, Clooney's Jack Cahill defeated his Tyrone opponent. And in the 16 doubles, the Tumgraney Paul Rogers and Kilkishan's Liam Murphy defeated their Tyrone opponents. Sean Considine of Clooney Quinn had a narrow loss in a tiebreak in the boys under 16 singles. Also taking part in Ulster that weekend were the under 14 doubles, the Kilkishan pair of Juliet Maroney and Chloe Hannon. Gráinne Cooney, also of Kilkishan, in the 16 singles. The Tuna pairing of Dara Casey and Killian Cummins in the boys 15 doubles. And under 17 doubles was a Clooney Quinn Kilkishan combination of Donica Cantwell and Martin Bonn, while Donica Crotty of Tumgraney took part in the 17 singles, as all of those games were in Ulster. And we wish the best of luck in their preparations for All-Ireland finals to Kilkishan's Ellie Frost, Claire Minogue, Isabel McInerney and Tara Lucas, Jack Cahill and Paul Rogers and Liam Murphy. Also last weekend in Croke Park, there was a lot of adult games played, and Clare had their first outing in ladies' senior doubles with the Tumgraney pair of Katrina Milan and Liam Minogue. And they had a tough ask ahead of them when they knew they were up against the Galway pair of Sienna Nicorine and Niamh Heffernan, who were in last year's All-Ireland senior final, and indeed made their way back to the final this year with a defeat over the Clare pair. Leah was in action again the following day, pairing up with Amber Nolan in the ladies' junior, and this time they were on the winning side with a defeat over a Roscommon Mayo pairing from Connacht of Alana Cochran and Laura Finn. Also successful on the weekend were the men's junior, as Kevin O'Callaghan from Kilkishan and Glenn Murray of Newmarket and Fergus had a successful outing over their Mayo pairing. And in the masters grades, Seamus Ryan of Tumgraney and Michael Kennelly of Clooney Quinn were successful. And then the cream of the crop in the men's senior, Dermot Nash and Colin Creehan, Tumgraney and Kilkishan, have made their way back to the All-Ireland final where they play Meath. Dermot and Colin defeated their Meath opposition of McConnell and Carl, who had been going very well in earlier rounds, and will run back to the All-Ireland where they will play their Cork opposition of Michael Hedigan and Daniel Relihan in a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final. And we just hope that the result goes the repeat of last year's way, with Clare retaining their All-Ireland men's doubles title. Locally in action, we have Munster senior singles competitions ongoing at the minute. And on Monday night during the week, Clooney Quinn's Darren O'Neill had a win over his Cork opposition, while also on the same night, Mike Baker of Kilkishan also had a win over Cork opposition. Both those games played in Kappa. This Friday night coming, David Considine of Clooney Quinn takes on Cork opposition, And Saturday, Conor Downs of Tungreeny will be at home to Cork opposition, as will Shane Walsh of Tungreeny be playing in Tungreeny against Waterford opposition. Matthew Coughlin of Cluny Quinn has a home game in against Cork opposition Cian Dunning. And on Sunday, Sean Coughlin will travel to Waterford, where he takes on in that's in the junior competition. While Wednesday night of the following week, Mike Kennelly of Cluny Quinn will be hoping to be in good form and travel to Liscarroll, where he will take on Cork opposition, as will his doubles partner Seamus Ryan of Tungreeny, also playing against Cork, that in the Masters B's. While Teddy O'Hanlon of Tungreeny is listed against Limerick opposition to play in the Ruby Masters on Thursday at home in Tungreeny. Locally, the juvenile competitions have been focusing on the B Championships, where over the last 8 weeks, over 200 children have been taking part in the alleys throughout Clare. The finals will take place this weekend, with the girls' finals from 11 o'clock in Kilkishan on Saturday and the boys' finals in Cluny and Clarecastle on Sunday from 4 o'clock. In the ranging from under 11 to under 17. The girls' finals, under 11 cup finals, Saoirse Frost of Kilkishan will play Sophia Moroni of Newmarket and Fergus, and in the Shield, Sophia Tracy of Tuna will play Ava Considine of Clarecastle. Under 11 girls' cup final is Ada Ryan of Cluny against Holly Farmer, Clarecastle, and the Shield final sees Elsa Kidney of Tulla against Bevan Slattery of Clarecastle. Under 13 girls' cup final is Molly McMahon of Cluny against Ali Donnelly of Clarecastle, and in the Shield, Sarah Brody Clarecastle will play Clara Vaughan Clarecastle. Under 14 girls, Maisie O'Malley Tooney will play Jane Hogan of Kilkishan, and in the 15 girls, Ella Crotty of Tungreeny will play Aoife Molloy of Tungreeny. 17 girls is an all-Tulla affair, with Lisa Nicholas playing Aveen Craven. In the under 12 boys, Derek Brohan of Cluny will play Ross McInerney. In the under 12 boys in the cup final, Dara Brohan of Cluny will play Ben Fahey of Tulla. In the Shield final, Ronan Davey of Kilkishan will play Leo Danaher of Tungreeny. And in the plate, Niall McMahon of Newmarket will play either Adam Quinn or Jack Drennan. In the under 13 boys cup final, Patrick Sweeney of Clarecastle will play Rory Frost of Kilkishan. And in the 14 boys, the Shield final of under 13, Blake Corbett of Kilkishan will play Finn Ellingstead of Clarecastle. 14 boys in the cup final is Cathal Ryan of Cluny and Brian Minogue of Tungreeny. The Shield final has Ronan O'Leary Clarecastle and Kieran Sheridan Clarecastle. Plate final has Gavin Hassett of Tuna against Danny Griffin of Tuna. League finals have Patrick O'Brien of Tungreeny and Michael Cooney Kilkishan, while the last final in that sees Dara Drennan Clarecastle and Adam Casey of Clarecastle. In the 15 boys, the cup final has Ronan Murray of Tungreeny against Jamie Moroney Kilkishan, while the Shield sees Brian Kenheady of Tulla play MJ Buckley of Tungreeny, and the plate has Luke Donnelly of Clarecastle against Dan Moroney Kilkishan. In the 16 boys cup final, Paddy Sweeney of Clarecastle plays Kieran Collins of Kilkishan, and the Shield, Jack O'Halloran of Tuna plays Owen Hegarty of Tuna. And the under 17-18 boys mixed has Martin Sweeney of Clarecastle playing John Sweeney Clarecastle. And in the Shield final is Killian McInerney of Tuna against Lachlan Carey of Cluny. And in the youngest age group, in the 11 boys, the cup final sees Jack McMahon of Cluny against Cian Donovan of Kilkishan. The Shield has Ryan McNamara of Tulla against Rory Mahon of Cluny. Plate semi-finals. The plate final has Noah Healy of Clarecastle against Coley Sweeney of Clarecastle. So it's going to be a busy weekend in the alleys throughout Clare, and we wish the best of luck to all the players, young and older, playing in their games.
And now we're once again joined on the line by well-known Clare journalist, national journalist, the man very good to see here on Scariff Bay Community Radio. The only thing about him is he's from Clarecastle, but look, we're not going to hold that too much against him this time. Orm Brennan, belated Happy New Year to you, and welcome once again to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
As I keep having to explain to myself, Leo, and my mother's from Scarra, so that should give you some leeway.
A smart bit. Get you a few pints, all right, you know, no doubt about that. Come here, Owen, look, since we spoke last, a lot of water has crossed under the bridge, and Clare, we'll start with football, and Clare under a new football manager, Mark Fitzgerald, and I suppose there may be a bit of scepticism when he got the job, but in fairness to him, he's bringing on a completely new team and doing a very good job.
Yeah, look, it's just, I think, number one, the fact that they had gone down to Division 3, even though last year looked like a bit of a disaster to go down when when they were running Dublin very close and probably should have beaten them in Croke Park, which is something else now when you consider the teams that are in Division 3. It probably was no harm considering when Cullum Collins left and the amount of players that left. I think there was 12 players of the team that were gone, and Mark Fitzgerald came in, and there was three of regulars also injured and still injured at the moment. So that's your 15 there. So you have to find a completely new team. All the leaders gone, and it looked like a big test. And I suppose at the start, we didn't know whether they're going to be in relegation or promotion or what was going to go on. But in fairness, it's entertaining stuff. I'll give it that. There's never a dull moment with this Clare team. They could be 10 points up, and they could lose away a lead and then come back again. There's a good never-say-die spirit that probably comes a lot with youthful enthusiasm. And there's no fear there with them. And, you know, they're learning the ropes. And I think they've won 4 games out of 5. 3 of those, 4, I suppose, 4 of the 5 games, even the one they lost, was last kick of the ball kind of stuff. Really roller coaster rides all the way through. But they've got 4 victories out of 5, should be 5 out of 5. Mm. And are genuinely promotion contenders now as we're going into 2 games left. One on St. Paddy's Eve, let's call it, on Saturday week, and then the final game up to Down. So if they can bring it to the last day, I suppose you don't know what will happen, but because Down and Westmeath are playing next, and one of those have to drop some points. So it'll be interesting to see how Clare do, but definitely in the initial stages of his tenure, Mark Fitzgerald will be extremely pleased to have seen the depth of talent that's in the county, and Clare are thriving, I suppose, rather than thinking that maybe someone would have thought at the very start of the year.
And Owen, of the players that are missing, is there many of them likely to get back, say, during the summer, or are they nearly permanently gone for the year? I know Owen Cleary isn't around, I think Jamie Malone is gone as well, but of some of the other players that are not available now, is there any chance that they will become available, some of the stalwarts from recent years?
I suppose the thinking really is that with the way that the Swiss season has gone, that realistically they won't, because your championship's in April now, the Munster Championship. It's knockout in the football. They have a fairly favourable semi-final in that they're playing the winners of Tipperary and Waterford. So in that regard, it's quite a favourable draw for them. But, you know, and they'll hopefully have an All-Ireland Championship to come if they were to reach a Munster final. But even at that, you're still talking about May and June, and realistically, there won't be any players back at that stage. So they have a couple that are injured at the moment. The likes of Darragh Bohannon, Killian Ryan, Killian Brennan, who's the captain, the younger brother of Gary Brennan. Yeah. And they haven't, well, Killian Ryan featured in one of the games, but the other two haven't featured at all. And they'd be a great boost of experience to what is an already fairly decent side. So in that regard, they'll be like new players coming back in, because we haven't seen very much of them. Brendy Rewind is another player that would be a great asset to the team. He's still a very young man, but unfortunately has been dogged by injuries, and there's no kind of prognosis on him at the moment. It seems to be an ongoing thing. I think he's the same kind of injury, kind of a groin injury, as Owen Cleary had, and he found that very difficult to shake off. So that's a little bit unknown for him, but the other three should be back in one shape or form before the Munster Championship, and hopefully they'll run into this National League.
Yeah, look at it, as you said, it's going to come down to the business end, and it looks very much like Park Estlin and Norrie is going to be a hotbed for Clare football in a few weeks' time. And, you know, I suppose, as you said, it was probably God's in, maybe, as it turned out, that they went down, but they're very much still in the mix on to go back up.
They are, but you know what? It wouldn't be so bad for them to stay down another year either. You know, I don't think it's kind of do or die for them to go back up to Division 2. You know, I think they're such a young side that it wouldn't be too detrimental to their development to stay in Division 3 another year. So in that regard, I think they're just happy to be winning games, kind of finding out a little bit more about themselves. Tactically, I suppose if you ever saw your old playing, they're very similar style to them, because Shawnee Buckley, who was originally from them,
the coach,
the weekend. He plays that kind of counter-attacking style that really is relies on pacey players, which is quite suitable to the players that Clare have at their disposal now, because they're all young and eager to learn. And I think they're the best kind of players, whether it's club or county, that you'd love to have at your disposal, because they're the ones that will be easily moulded to the plan, whereas you know yourself, the older, stubborn players are kind of stuck in their ways and they don't want to change a hell of a lot. So I think the dynamic is fairly good there at the moment. The vibes are very positive from the camp. And you know what? They're passing these little character tests. Although it might be great for the heart, it's good for the soul, I suppose, ultimately. And the results are coming in. And I think they're building up a small bit of a following as well, which is people like to see young players, no matter what code or sport.
In fairness, the entertainment value is very, very high, you know. And it is one thing you're guaranteed that is... You know, you wouldn't want to blink. You just wouldn't know what's going to happen with him. You know what I mean? And it's probably a real sign of youthful exuberance.
Yeah, that inconsistency. You know, last Saturday night now in Rakhil, they were 10 points up coming in towards halftime. Well, 15 minutes later, they were only 2 points up and really, really struggling and didn't get a goal chance. So that's the kind of way they are at the moment. And we've seen that in all the games. There's kind of inconsistency within the games themselves. But look, that'll come with experience as they go along. And that's why I think Division 3 is a decent level for this team at the moment to try and develop and nurture a little bit more. And let's be honest, there won't be any higher level when they come to the semi-final, whether it's Tipperary or Waterford. So in that regard, it might be a nice passage. Although, if you make it to a month for final, I don't think it's going to get any easier than it was last year.
But there's a couple of players in, like, say, Brian McNamara, I suppose, and Niamh McMahon, and a few more like that, who are really beginning to show their potential, aren't they, in this league, Owen?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Emmett McMahon is a really classy player. Both feet, really good long-range kicker, free-taker, and a bit of a leader as well. You know, a guy that talks, talking to the management, talking to players, and he's only in his early 20s, you know. He kind of acts and talks like a man that's nearly pushing on to his peak at 27 or 28 or even 30. So he's a really good asset to it. The likes of Dermot Coughlin as well, I think, even though he's only in his mid-20s, is another player that is really cool and calm on the ball as well. And look, they've a lot of those players that are just stepping up to the mark. You mentioned Brian McNamara there. He had an awful bad injury there last year, the club championship, burst his spleen. It was a freak accident, really, and there was kind of signs that he might never play again, but he's back now and he's dominating. He looks very much like Gary Brennan, a real dominant.
Yeah, you'd think he was cut from the same cloth, wouldn't you? The way he, the same mannerisms, everything.
Yeah, absolutely, and got a similar goal that Gary would have got on Saturday as well, so he's going into it, and I think they're, by allowing these players to kind of feature and develop, they're learning a bit faster on the feet, because we have had a lot of good minor and under 20 teams in the last couple of years, and a lot of them have come through the system. So this is an opportunity for those guys to shine at senior level, and hopefully they can take it now and develop a little bit further as they hit towards the championship.
Yeah, and speaking of under 20 team, like they came to within a kick of a ball of knocking Kerry out at the Munster Championship test. You know, I know Kerry didn't win the All Ireland after, but they won the Munster Championship. Like, so, you know, the pedigree is there, Owen. There's no doubt.
Yeah, look, and it's a fair sign that when if you lose a complete team, if you can imagine losing the first 15 in the Clare hurling team and having a 15 to already replace him and actually compete and thrive in that environment, you know, any team you're talking about to replace 15 players and try and survive is a fair feat. So for this team to do it, I think it is, you know, it's putting your faith in youth, and I think they've answered that call so far, and hopefully that will continue.
Yeah, and turning from the football, we'll get on to the hurling in a minute, and on with the Camogie team, and unfortunately last weekend the Clare Junior Camogie team suffered a narrow defeat to Kilkenny in the Division 2 of the league. And how do you think the Camogie scene is going overall, Owen? I know that the senior team, the victories aren't coming. Junior or the intermediate team competitive enough?
Yeah, unfortunately, I suppose the consequence of the players going at senior level is that the kind of spine of that junior team that won the All-Ireland last year have now been taken out of that intermediate, when they probably could have done with another year, you'd imagine, just to kind of find your feet at intermediate level. Just unfortunate, I suppose, the timing of this, that they've had to step up now to senior level, and I suppose a bit like the footballers, they've had to learn on their feet. But unlike the footballers, they're in the top tier. That Division 1A has all your top
teams, yeah.
Six counties in it. They're all experienced. They're not losing players to the regard that Clare are. and physically they're stronger, and they have a conveyor belt of younger players that, you know, have been working through a system of S&C and the kind of coordinated strength and conditioning that Clare haven't had. So while Clare are trying to find new players, and let's be honest, you can't fault either the senior or the junior team for effort at the moment. They're giving it absolutely everything. They're great, great tryers and all that, but unfortunately the physicality they're suffering at the moment, and you know, that conveyor belt that they should have had, they're even bringing up minors now to that junior team. And look, competing fine, but just missing that spark of quality at both levels, you find, to really be competing at that level.
Yeah, and of course, look, you need all your players, and unfortunately they're not at the manager's or the management's disposal. So look, you can only go with what you've got, and hopefully things will improve in the near future, and I've no doubt they will. Owen, turning to the hurling, and Clare have, you know, started off going very, very well in the league, and again, a lot of players missing, a lot of questions asked, when will certain players be back? Brian Lohan, in probably whether he wants to be or not, is already probably in a National League semi-final.
Yeah, and you know, it's probably the biggest slow bicycle race in the whole country, isn't it? Nobody really wants to be in definitely not a National League final, but everybody a semi-final. But even when you get to a semi-final, it's hard to lose it unless you have the old Gerlach man that's training in the morning of the game or something. I don't know about what you'd go at really to throw a game necessarily. But yeah, look, I think it's been very, very positive so far, just simply because they have been quite experimental teams. You're talking about 7, 8, 9 of the regulars, and then a mix of newer players and fringe players over the last couple of years. And I think overall, you'd have to say it's a very, very positive start. I suppose if you named out the teams that were going to be playing against Cork, Waterford and Wexford, you'd have thought to yourself, we'd probably take a hammering or a beating one of those or two of those games. But it hasn't come to pass. They've remained unbeaten after 3 games. And they've maybe found a couple of players, which has been quite useful, because they need to find them in the short term now rather than a couple of years down the line. It's kind of getting to that necessity now because of the likes of the experienced players maybe only have a year or two left in the tank, and then you can't kind of force the younger players to develop so fast. So I think Brian Lohan will be very pleased with the amount of players that have put up their hand in the last couple of games. But I think the acid test of a young player and whether they're ready for championship will be Kilkenny this tomorrow, will be that game, because that's going to be the true barometer, the litmus test of whether a player is going to be able to survive in the championship. Because Kilkenny, in fairness to them, they'll be looking at this Clare game quite as eagerly as Clare will, because their championship in Leinster anyway is a bit like a roller coaster, in that there'll be some games that they'll have to go full leather for, but in the main, they can kind of cruise through for a lot of it. So they'll be looking at that game and eyeing it up as a good barometer for them to have a go at as well. And physically, Clare won't get a better test than that. So I think it's the perfect test at the perfect time for what are a lot of younger players anyway in the Clare team.
Yeah, and realistically, Owen, we say Clare's weak link seemed to be the defence, and there weren't a lot of players coming through in the last 3 years given an opportunity. But now there's 3 or 4 fellas who seem to be putting their hands up, people like Cian Galvin, maybe Conor Lean, Dara Lohan, obviously, 1 or 2 more. But realistically, there's unlikely to be more than one change in the defence, if at all, for the championship. You know, one of those 3 is the maximum would come in.
Yeah, but I suppose what the problem was, Pat, really, was that there was no cover. You know, we probably have a 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
We probably have 6 or 7, you would say, experienced and tough defenders, and kind of class. There's a bit of class in there as well. But unfortunately, we saw 2 years ago in the All-Ireland semi-final when John Condon was missing, and then last year as well Conor Cleary was missing, that the players weren't there, or, you know, at least the switches weren't clearly available to them, that you'd be able to say straight away, oh, we can stick in that player or the other player. Whereas the Limerick, and to a lesser extent Kilkenny, would have a player at the ready that would fit in seamlessly. And we've seen that with Limerick in particular, that, you know, they've lost players in key positions and have been able to either switch someone back to a more experienced player, back into that central role, and bring in someone, and the transition has looked quite seamless. So I think in that regard, they needed to find 2 or 3 defenders that maybe not are going to be starters in the championship, but definitely pushing the back six or seven for places. And if there is an injury, and let's be honest, it's a fairly cutthroat Munster Championship. There's going to be a couple of knocks and bruises along the way, that there would be someone there to come in for, whether that's 20 minutes or a full game or whatever. So they're going to have to find guys and make sure that they're kind of warrior ready for the Munster Championship, because there's probably no more intense cauldron than that at the moment. It's a really exciting championship for supporters, but I'd imagine it's fairly cutthroat on the field.
And as you're speaking of playing Kilkenny tomorrow in the park, and Kilkenny don't relish coming to Cusick Park either, there's no doubt about that. But Owen, who has stood out for you mostly, impressed you most in the league with the new players coming through?
Yeah, I suppose you'd have to look at Sean Wren anyway, in particular in midfield, has kind of been a revelation, really, because I suppose the people have seen his development at under 20 level, but probably thought it was a year or two too soon for him to make the break at senior level. Had a relatively quiet game in his debut there against Cork, kind of blossomed in the Waterford game, and there was a bit of a mixed bag against Wexford, but it's all a learning curve. Physically, probably has to develop a little bit more, but definitely the seeds are there, the ingredients are there for what is another option at midfield for Clare. I think you'd have to also look at the likes of Keane Galvin and Conor Lean in the full back line, and Keane Galvin and Dara Lohan on the half back line as well. I think Keane Galvin always had great potential. It just was dogged by a particularly bad injury that he had, and it was a fair big setback to him, and he's probably only coming back to a small bit of form now, and he's such a big man and able to break a tackle that I think he's the kind of perfect fit if they were to do a little bit of switching around the defence. And Daryl Owen's also come in and done a good job. And Conor Lean, which, like, the full back line is a problematic area, because Conor Cleary's loss last year, it was difficult to fill. Adam Hogan went in at the time, if you remember, in that game that he got injured and did a grand job against Tipperary for the remainder of that game. But it was Keane Nolan that was pulling in the Munster final, and they've tried different guys in different positions there. But Conor Lee fitted in there the last day, did quite a good job, and he has come from what was a brilliant year for him in Corfin last year. And okay, he was on the panel last year, so he has that bit of transition that maybe some of the other players don't have. So three or four of those definitely made a bit of an impact. I'd say Shane Meehan is another one. I know he's been on the panel a good 3 years, but we saw him in the Fitzgibbon Cup final that he really is just as good a playmaker as he is a scorer. And he's physically built. He might never be the tallest, but he's now physically built for senior level. It's taken him a couple of years, let's be honest. He was a very quick and light player, but it's taken him a couple of years. He hasn't started ever a championship game for the seniors, so I think that has to be a goal for him. And I know the forward line is probably the most plentiful line that we have, but I suppose when you consider the likes of Tony Kelly is out at the moment, and Ryan Taylor, we're still waiting to see when he'll be back into it as well. I suppose there are options there, more advanced up the field, that need to be filled as well.
But looking at and speaking of the same said Shane Meehan, Owen, he has changed his game, he's developed his game a lot more, you know. So I think maybe that Brian Lohan could maybe trust him more, that he's able to fight his own battle now to win a ball, which maybe was probably a criticism of him from before, and he's able to hold up a ball and lay it off. So he has developed his game quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, I'd be very pleased with the management in that respect. Like that, if you take it like the Mark Rogers when he went down the panel first, there was guys calling for him to be put straight into the senior team, you know. And physically, he was a strong young fella, but he needed a bit of time to kind of assimilate himself into the panel as well. And so he wasn't thrown in at the deep end. He was given a couple of substitute appearances and kind of eased his way into it. And then last year was put in from the start and obviously got National Young Player of the Year. So I think that has to be a credit to the management that they maybe didn't bow to public cause and public criticism to throw him in. And they've done a similar job with Shane Meehan, I think. You know, he's been on the panel 3 or 4 years. He's an equally good footballer, and there's been a lot of calls for him to go onto the football side of things. But he stuck with it, and he had his fair share of injuries as well. He didn't play much at the under-20 level. I think he only maybe played one game in his couple of years there. So he's had to develop, he's had to bide his time, he's had to build himself up physically. And I think you're right, I think he has changed his game, but I think he's done that because he has had to change his game. And he used to be a kind of a dynamic player that took on defences and did it all on his own. But when you're at senior level, every player is like that in their own club, and you've got to be able to pass the ball in the right position and be more selfless. And I think that's a kind of a trait that Shane has learned as well. And I think he still has an eye for goals, still has an eye for a score. And to be honest, he's willing to win his own ball as well. So I think he'd be an option going forward into this championship as well.
Yeah, one final word was on Shane Meehan, the likes of Shane and Rodgers and them, and maybe Lohan's wisdom in not rushing the biz. You know, in these games, we're playing really, this year particularly, sticky, heavy pitches. And, you know, you're not going to see the best of the likes of Shane Meehan on a real mire of a pitch. You know, you'd be expecting maybe that he might be given a lot more game time when you run maybe top of the ground, hopefully in the month of May, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I suppose all the inter-county fields now are in good nick, you know. So I suppose he's, you know, you're not going to get too much of that more as you go along, really. And look, I think hopefully the weather's going to improve. It couldn't get much worse, let's be honest.
With the weather
we've had. They're talking about the dome in Connacht. We can nearly put a dome over the whole province at this stage just to be able to get a few games played. Not to mind starting the Clare Cup this weekend. Everyone's trying to mind their own patch. But I think at inter-county level, Cusick Park has never looked as well, let's be honest. So I think hopefully we're in for a cracker tomorrow, and I don't think there'll be much problem with the grounds anyway.
Not,
and
not in
hopefully,
the park,
hopefully we'll get a cracking game.
Yeah, indeed. Owen, I can't let you go without mentioning one man. The man that has always played very well anytime we've been at games is the keeper from Clarecastle, Cian Broderick, that has developed his game. He's, you know, he was always a good keeper, but he's playing at a very high level at the moment, Owen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, the thing about Cian is that he's had to learn his craft as well. And that's been another trait of his. I've been quite patient with him with regards to, he's always been a brilliant shot stopper. His reactions, as you saw against Wexford the last day, are cat-like, really. He's able to turn the sixpence and get down to that ball as quick as possible. But I suppose the distribution was a bit of an Achilles heel for him in coming up to the grades. And I think as distribution has become more important, it's nearly more important than actually saving in the goals.
Yeah.
Now, the distribution, the puck outs, the restarts, the handling, that's crucial now. It's all a possession game. You know, there's no point in driving the ball as long as possible. You have to try and find a man and be cool under pressure and the whole lot. And Keane has had to learn that, you know. He hasn't been thrown in. He got a chance there in the Munster League and then got his opportunity in the National League, and I thought he took it quite well. So it's another option for Clare. Probably had to build up a little bit more experience before he'll see Championship. But again, I think you put faith in the manager, and I have to say, and I've reiterated this a few times, I go to try and go to as many games as possible, whether that's a junior, intermediate, senior, and there seems to be some member of the management at all of them. So they fairly trawl the county in terms of talent. And hopefully it'll pay a dividend now. There's a lot of guys, new players, putting up their hands for inclusion, let's say, anyway. And as I said before there, I think a great acid test will be tomorrow against Kilkenny, because I think Kilkenny physically will test and we'll be able to see whether a guy is going to really sink or swim going into the championship, because it's Limerick first, obviously, in the Cusick Park on the 21st of April, and there's no place for hiding on that occasion in Europe.
And there's no doubt, Owen, going into the game tomorrow in the park, and the one thing you know with Kilkenny is they'll be going out 100% to win, and you're guaranteed a serious, serious challenge.
Yeah, because let's be honest, outside of Limerick, Clare and Kilkenny have proven to be the top, the other two, the leading contenders, let's say, behind Limerick. They've proven that Clare in provincial level and Kilkenny have been at back-to-back All-Ireland finals with them now. So that's why they want to test themselves. Kilkenny will want to test themselves against Clare just as much as Clare will want to test themselves against Kilkenny. There won't be any talk of revenge. I mean, that the back-to-back All-Ireland semi-finals are what they are. This is a completely different test now. But I think both Brian Lohan, I just think he'll be trying to put out a team that he would be looking at maybe towards the championship, and he put out the best team that he has available, including a few new faces, just to be able to see if they're able to mix it up with these Kilkenny boys. Because as you said, they really come and give it 150%, and hopefully it'll be a cracking game, because I know we're known this evening, let's say, whatever Limerick or Tipperary come out on top, and I suppose the other, nobody really want to meet Limerick, especially Clare, in a semi-final of a national league, because they'll only be playing them a couple of weeks later. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that game goes, and it might have a bearing on tomorrow's game. But
yeah, there's no
just taking the game on its own merits, I think it'll be a cracker between Clare and Kilkenny, because it's the first time you go to a lot of these national league games and you're not sure if one team is up for it or not, or whether they're going to put out a dummy team or not. But I do think, honestly, that both teams will be giving it 100% tomorrow.
And Owen, apart from that, you know, you've mentioned the players that will be trying. The older brigade or the injured brigade are coming back. What's the prognosis and the timescale of returning those players on? Do you know?
Yeah, I suppose your guess is as good as mine, Leo, at this stage. A lot of rumours going on at the moment, I suppose. Just getting Tony Kelly back on the field for the Munster Championship seems to be the aim. Whether what date of that Munster Championship would be the key to that. So it's about getting that injury right, really, and making sure that everything is good now, because he's had a little bit of trouble with it over the last couple of years, and you want to get rid of that as much as possible. Ryan Taylor, obviously, with the cruciate, is due back around the same time as well. So you'd imagine both of them will be obviously huge assets going into it. But whether they'll be back for the Limerick game in the first round, which is, 6 weeks out now.
Yeah. He crawls up new very fast.
Yeah, it's probably pushing it a small bit more, but I suppose stranger things have happened in Clare Hurling. You won't be hearing any rumours coming from the camp anyway, that's for sure.
No. I know they're keeping it very tight-lipped. And Owen, also the minors and the under-20s, they'll be soon starting their championships, and you know, both management's in full swing with their preparations.
Yeah, and look, very exciting, as we've seen the last couple of years. Last year with the seniors under-20s and minors getting to Munster finals, and I think the first time since 1999 that all three have contested them. So, you know, very exciting year last year, and if things had worked out a little bit differently, I suppose they could have won all three. As it was, the minors went on to win Munster and All-Ireland after that. So I think that in itself has just shown the potential that's in the county. We probably won't be seeing them as senior for a couple of years yet, obviously, but the under-20s will definitely benefit. And we mentioned it before, but this team now at under-20 level was the team that got beaten by 40 points by Cork. And at the time, obviously, Munster was knockout because of COVID and all that. So this time, there's a round-robin series. So it'll be interesting to see how the development of that panel has come in the intervening period. It's probably a tough job that Terence Fahey has gone into with regards to that, but there's plenty of talent there, as we've seen. And the last two minor teams have reached Munster finals. The last one won when the other one lost on penalties. So there's a good pool of talent there if they can hone them together. And definitely there's great optimism that they can improve. And I think that alone would be a great thing. And I think the round-robin series has been a great asset to especially to Clare and a few other counties as well, but particularly Clare, because they have been able to blossom a little bit. It's certainly worked at minor level. They've had 16 championship games in the last 2 years. If you think back, there's probably a previous decade where you wouldn't get 16 games in at minor level. So it's great exposure for young players in great crowds. And last year was great weather as well. But we'd be optimistic without having any sure things with regards to having a great team that were going to win Munster All-Ireland medals. I think we'd be hopeful in all grades that we'd be very, very competitive anyway, and hopefully be able to replicate last year's achievements.
Yeah, and as we are talking about the county teams, this weekend there's a mess exodus of club games as the club action returns, and a lot of cobwebs to be brushed off on. So great to see the action back for all players.
Yeah, look, I suppose the Clare Cup has got a bit of criticism the last couple of years, and especially with the fifth season now, I suppose it's taken a little bit of impetus off it, because there was a time there you get your county players back for a game or two along the way, and you can kind of choose your battles along the way as well. But for local people, it's obviously brilliant, because you're getting to see newer players if you have county players gone, and there's obviously a lot of injuries, and it takes time for older guys to get back at this time of year. So it's all about bringing through the next level, seeing what the local talent is out there, and it's it's always a great meeting point and social point to be looking at this and getting going for the season again. And obviously all the blind optimism and hope, you've forgotten about last year and the frustration that they gave you by going out of the Championship, and you just have that blind optimism as you head off to the first Clare Cup game again, full of the joys of spring. But look, it's great to get the club games underway. There's a bit of a restructure in the league next year, so there is a little bit more to play for this year with regards to placings in the divisions. So I think that alone will kind of offset the fact that there's no relegation or promotion, especially from the top tier anyway. The 10 teams in it now are the 10 teams that are going to form the Clare Cup next year. So it'll be all about the prize money. And it's great to see that there is prize money for the Clare Cup again. So that's a carrot to aim for the 10 teams in 1A anyway, and obviously the top two in 1B as well. So, with that restructure next year, I think it puts a little bit of extra focus, probably more down the levels, but at the same time, it's still a lot to play for.
Owen, speaking of the Clare Cup and all the leagues and all that starting again, I mean, we're going to now envisage all these massive amount of fixtures on the papers every week for Clare. And just wondering, you mightn't know the answer to this now, but do you know if there's been any kind of an addition to the pool of referees? I mean, some referees are doing 4 or 5 games a weekend, maybe 6, well, between week games and all the schools and that. Do you know if there's any increase in the amount of referees coming on stream, let's say, even for minor 20 level or whatever, or maybe because league games would be a place you could start off as well? Or have you any knowledge of anything, any movement on that score? Because, as I said, it's been tight enough in recent years with referees doing multiple games.
Yeah, look, there's a recruitment drive there the last couple of weeks. You might have seen it on social media and stuff like that. They were looking for new referees, and there's a foundation course that has started out there with as many referees as they can get. And it's kind of 2 physical meetings and 2 online ones as well. So you don't always have to travel to these things. And the hope being that they'll come online, not immediately, obviously, but that there will be a pool just around the line. Last year, there was a good cohort that came through, and actually, now we're refereeing at the club games all down to the divisions as well. So I think that has been a relative success, but the numbers are low. You know, it's probably unfortunate that the way things have gone, really, and I suppose it's a difficult job, you know what I mean, that not everybody is geared up for it. But at the same time, if you don't have the ref, as they keep saying, you won't have a game either. So you've got to respect them, and you've got to try and make sure that you have them. And I'm a firm believer in that every club should be mandated to have a referee, yeah, and that if you're not, you should be levied or fined, because there's no onus on clubs to produce referees or try and encourage or urge referees to, or players, old players, let's say, to get involved as referees, because, you know, there's a referee needed at all levels, whether you're down in the junior ranks where you have to put your home referee or at underage level. You know, there's crying out for referees at all levels. And let's be honest, there's a few pounds as well, so it's not, yeah, it's not the worst job in the world. So I do think that it should be mandated from the clubs, but at the moment they don't want to go down that road. You know, they don't want to see. So they're seeing how this course is going to go, I suppose, it's running over the next couple of weeks, and in the hope of finding a new crop of referees, I suppose.
And Owen, finally, before we let you go, two questions. One, your thoughts on the new incoming president of the GAA, Gerard Burns. And finally, you know, hopefully that supporters out there will renew their Club Clare membership for 2024 and give much needed support to the county teams.
Yeah, look, I suppose Gerard Burns is one of those, and I remember him coming down to the county board meeting and speaking, and, you know, he's a real player's man, but he's also a very strong man, and you know, won't be easily swayed in his opinion either. So I think, you know, while we've had certain presidents in the past that they kind of term passes and you kind of say, gee, what do they actually do at the end of it? I don't think he'll be saying that at the end of Gerard Burns' reign. That's for certain. He seems very much a doer. Maybe for some respects is you either like him or hate him kind of a character, but I certainly think that he won't go with the crowd. He won't be sheepish in that regard, and I think he'll be his own man. So I'm quite enthused by his approach,
yeah,
really. I just think there's a lot of times that you really think that the GAA has become a little bit of a talking shop at the top level. So it's great to see characters like that that have played the game, have come up to the ranks, let's say, administration as well, and are willing to put their name forward to try and lead it in a different direction. So I would be quite enthused on that regard. As regards to Club Clare then, obviously being the supporters club and for Camogie and hurling and at all levels now, and I suppose the perception is that it's just maybe for senior level, for John Carmody and Brian Lohan to be able to get the best of the things for their preparations, but it's for all levels. It's gone down to the under 14 development squads right up all through the levels, and you can see the improvement that has been there. There's kind of clips of video has gone around there about nutritionists and the statistics, and these players are learning to be better athletes and better people as much as they are better hurlers. So I do think that the money is being used very, very wisely, and I think it's with regards to the membership for Club Clare, I think it's probably a no-brainer in a lot of ways, because you're not lending a hell of a lot of money to it, but it's nice to be involved. It's nice to say that you played your part in some way and to try and boost up Clare Hurling and Camogie. And let's be honest, the fruits on the field, whether you can draw a direct correlation to it or not, have been quite enthusiastic. And I think Clare have never been better prepared with their teams, whether that is Camogie or Hurling. And I think that's a great sign, and probably a lot to do with the money that's gone in to provide those little bit of extras, because County Board, I suppose, has been focusing on facilities, and obviously they're giving money to prepare teams, but the actual nitty-gritty of those nutrition and S&C and all that new development that's needed with regards to GPS and tracking and training and all those kind of things have come to the Club Clare side. So I think it's a very, very positive step for the county in the last couple of years, and I think anyone that hasn't joined probably should, really, just in terms of loyalty and lending their support and getting behind our teams, who have given us plenty of entertainment, let's be honest, over the last couple of years.
There's no, as you said yourself at the outset there, it is a no-brainer, and you know, it makes you feel, it's like that you feel part of the team, you know, when you, as well, and gives you that sense of identity. It's grand to see lads going around wearing those clear hats and that going around there at the games, and you know, it just shows that you're showing off your colour and that. Owen, as always, good to talk to you here on Scariff Bay Community Radio, and thanks very much for taking the time to give us your expert opinion, as always.
Yeah, well, sure, we'll see you in the field there in Budyke. Sure, we'll be out for the big game in the Clare Cup.
Well, I hope the weather is good. You know, we'll welcome Clare Castle to any East Clare venue this year, Owen. You know.
With the White Gate for Championship game, maybe it.
We'll need Keane Broderick for that one.
Owen, as always, good to talk to you. Good to be in the Mahagut.
Great. Thanks a million, Ed.
Great, Owen. Thanks.
And once again, thanks to Owen Brennan for taking the time to talk to us about the GA activities and beyond. And now, also this weekend, the rugby season is in full swing with international weekend again, and no better game to whet the appetite than a game at Twickenham between the Aristocrats, as they'll call themselves, England, and good old Ireland, Pat. And this is one that we always look forward to.
And one we always want to win is absolutely one you always look forward to. Our record against England, let's say over the 100 and whatever years they're playing, probably is probably still in debit big time. So every time we get a win against them is good for the record. But look, at in reality, all rugby followers worldwide would say that Ireland at the moment have a much better squad than England. But as well as better squad, a much better way of better playing the game. I mean, Steve Borthwick, you know, we thought he might get England to play a more modern game, but instead,
it's
absolutely backwards in time. They've gone with just hoofing it up in the air and chasing it, and the big plotters then to try and win the breakdown or whatever. But it's a shame, really. Now, having said that, physically they're going to be a good challenge for Ireland. I mean, I know our pack is solid, and I know we also have the four or five back. Now, notice our backs or our split now on the replacements is usually about, you know, 6-2 or whatever, in favour of forwards. It usually be that way. And we have these guys coming in like Conan and Beelham and, you know, all those other lads coming in there, Baird, and those makes a huge difference. There's a few like that to come in. So we should beat them. It'd be lovely to beat them beyond in Twickenham. But I think a lot of commentators I've listened over the last few days when talking about the game, they feel they want to say we should win easily, but they're all afraid to say it. Nobody wants to be too cocky and say then we'll wipe the floor with them, whatever. But they will put up to a challenge in the scrum. I think they'll challenge our line out, and I think they'll be, you know, biffing us. They'll be putting high balls up, because Keane is just back from injury. I presume he's starting. And, you know, But it's hard to see us not getting it right, because in fairness to Farrell, I mean, and his fellow coaches, nearly everything we're doing is pretty right. Maybe one or two chances not being finished. But
the line-out is still a small problem though, Pat.
Yeah, apart from one great game when the first game of the against France was brilliant. But yeah, you're right. But I suppose maybe there's no perfect lineouts anymore. Maybe, you know, oppositions are studying things so detailed, yeah. And you know, everybody time every team now is changing their hope.
They all know the Irish language at this stage.
That's true, yeah. Every team as well is bringing in their second hooker after maybe with a half an hour to go, and I suppose there might be little issues there when they come in and the new lads come in with them. Do you know, maybe there's issues like that, but I'd never be too cocky playing England. You couldn't, but still, it's great to be in this confident mood we have, and I think, I even think if we were behind with 15 minutes to go, we'd find a way, but I still think we should beat them by at least two tries.
And Pat, when you look at the Irish team, you see one of the great centres in international rugby, and he's just not making it. Gary Ringrose,
exactly. One of the real classy centres, yeah. But you just go, well, Henshaw brings him. You'd love a Henshaw against England, because they're physical, and you know he's not afraid of the physical side of it. As regards Bundiaki, he's probably the best centre in the world at the moment, or close to it. So, I mean, for playing England is physicality. Playing the likes of Scotland, Wales, and Italy, you can afford your nice guys, because, you know, you're not playing the same kind of power. So, and with the way England play as well, I think. Although, having said that, no, Ringrose is a brilliant defender. And he's the man who straightens up that line and kind of, you know, gets the right wits and all that and kind of calls a lot of the shots, I think. But it's great to have him there. It's great to have those, look at it, it's great to have those choices there. I mean, never before had we so many choices in so many positions, I think. Even young that from West Clare, the father of West Clare.
Oh, Frawley.
Frawley did well enough the last day.
Yeah,
full back.
He's a good player,
and,
I think.
Yeah, and I mean, he's an option in the future again. But having Keenan back is a great sense of security, I think. So it'll be interesting how the scrums go now. I mean, Porter is one of the guys, you know, has been kind of been pulled nearly regularly for
and
scrum
offences. And I think in my own, quite right there, he was scrumming in wrongly.
But having said that, he brings a great abrasiveness.
Oh, he does.
He's a great guy to have, you know.
I'd rather have him than not have him.
Yeah, and you see the blood coming out of his eye like soon in the game, and that's the sign. He's getting in there and he's getting in their faces, and he's a great guy for last. It's holding up, you know, because they will get a few chances up near our line from the scrum, from the line out mauls and that. And, you know, if they go over two or three of those, you know, we could have questions asked of us. So you want your guys like your Porter and all those, despite the fact there might be a yellow card risk in scrums, you want them there. But it'd be nice to see Furlong keeping up some good form. I think Baird brings an awful lot to the game when he comes in. He's such an athlete, Leo, and he's and the other player that's played outstanding, not in the ball carrying sense, but in tackling, is Caelan Doris.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Pat, is he the best player in the world at the moment?
I suppose he's close to it. The French will say DuPont, and someone else will say, you know, the winger there, in the New Zealand winger, who escapes me. But look at pound for pound, I suppose, over all round game. When he has a sidestep, still a good ball carrier. But he's an amazing tackler, and he's just kind of a leader on the field already. So hard to say, hard to pin it down to that. But certainly he's in the conversation.
One last question about the Irish rugby team, Pat. You know, and I think maybe the jury's probably still out on Jack Crowley, right? I know he's a young man coming into the position, but this is a cauldron that he won't have faced before.
True, it's a cauldron. Will Twickenham, when the whole chariot starts swinging low. You love to see Ireland getting a couple of early scores and silence in the chariots. You don't hear those wheels at all. And look at it, is, but I think that this Irish squad is different. I think crowds wouldn't worry them at all anymore. Whereas one time they were affected by the crowd. I think even referees now, I noticed even the World Cup, they weren't in the least affected by the French crowds being so, you know, the way they're so demanding, vice, like, and boo and everything. And then you see with all the cameras, you know, on the action now, the referees can be able to get the calls fairly right most of the time. I don't think the mentality of the team is different now. I think I don't think they're affected at all. In fact, I think they know that if they up their game slightly and silence the crowd, it's to their advantage in a way, sort of thing. So I don't see that as an issue. Love to see him giving them a good beating, but you take 6 or 7 points.
Oh, I'd tell you one will do, Pat.
Yeah, oh, one will do, of course.
One will do, and of course, look, it is. They're the only team left that can win the Triple Crown in the Championship.
And the Grand Slam anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so for that, it's a double boost.
Yeah.
France, big trouble. Galtier will be. He'll be. Looks like he's very lucky. He'll be lucky to hold on.
Yeah, they seem to have suffered a massive hangover from the World Cup. I think they had set their sights on winning the thing at home. I mean, they were so close. In fairness to them, they were very, very close. Didn't get many calls in that big one against.
They got none, really.
No one, and I think they just didn't recover. I think the mentality. It knocked the stuffing out of them, really.
They probably better have to regroup, new, fresh energy, yeah. New team, new management, and
get it ready, looks like it. Yeah,
ready no, for 3 years time.
They have nearly 3 years, or they have nearly 4 years. They have 3.5 years to do it. I'm sure no better boys than them. I mean, the talent is probably in that country. You know, yeah. For all the clubs they haven't, really good clubs.
I was going to say to you, is O'Gara a dark horse to be?
God, you wouldn't be
a coach for France in the next World Cup.
Wouldn't shock you. It wouldn't shock now. Because I know he wants to. He's probably on the way back to his own country in his own mind eventually.
Yeah.
But I don't think he could turn down if he was offered or if he was approached about it or kind of put in the picture. I think he's an ambitious guy, so he might see there's no change happening in Ireland for a good while.
Well, there won't be.
And I mean, there's a few other potential coaches now in the Irish scene as well. I mean, you know, we'll say Paul O'Connell himself could. You know, yeah. Then you have probably Felix Jones could come back around to the whole local scene. Another name I've forgotten altogether is Noel McNamara, who I presume will he'll
filter his way
back.
Get
involved at a higher level. So there's a few people that have to be looked at, but to be something if you're playing O'Gara in a final or something.
Because they love him out there.
They do. Yeah, they love his French accent as well. He's talking.
And he's
wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world for it to happen, but I suppose at the moment it's probably it's not overly likely, but it's a possibility.
Yeah. Pat, thanks for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our Sportsland show here today on Scariff Community Radio in association with Derek Credit Union on 88.3 and 92.7 FM and then the TuneIn app. My thanks, as always, to special our guests today, Orla Considine, Owen Brennan, and of course Pat for his rugby analysis. And thanks to Jim on the control tower for keeping the show going. And thanks very much to you for tuning in to the show. We hope you very much enjoyed it. And all that remains is me, Leo Dial. Until we meet again, it's Ben O'Day, August Lawn.